Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. Actually, that should be first. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, meritorious Man You Missing. Are contemporary black leaders subscribing or submitting to the meritorious Man You Missing of 1710 or 1782, depends on what you read, whatever you're reading? Are they therefore the eyes and ears, the gatekeepers of those who continue to oppress, suppress the progress of black people in the good old USA? So what the hell was meritorious? Because you know I didn't know what that was. So I'm going to be honest. So I had to look it up. Meritorious is by definition from Webster's, Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Deserving of honor, deemed honored for their meritorious service to the company. Like, right? So that's an honorable position there. So that's not no, that's somebody who's raised up, right? From study.com. What is man? You, man new, missing, mission, like Mission Impossible, right? M-A-N-U-M-I-S-S-I-O-N, right? What is that? It is the formal emancipation from slavery. It is a way for slaves to earn their freedom, right? So we know that we, I think, I shouldn't assume, but I'm going to assume, Take a chance, go out on a limb here, that we do know what it takes to earn your freedom, right? Anyway, so if this law is still on the books, one would have to wonder what chattel slave is this law referring to? Because this is a law that they put together in the South, right? Are there other ways to be enslaved, exploited, and controlled? Yes, there are other ways to be exploited, enslaved, and controlled. Maybe that is what they mean when they say they took the chains off your wrists and ankles and put them on your mind. One might wonder about the absence of whistleblowers in a system that is said to be infected with oppression, racism, and inequality. Where are the eyes and ears, the champions of the issues that impact especially, specifically on black people? Where are the eyes in this? Apparently the slave owners or captors had that principle. They function on that principle. And you'll see that principle function, government functions on that principle of eyes, having eyes and ears. We call them spies now, or some people call them snitches. Right. Anyway, I'm going to keep going because I got a lot I want to cover, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover all of this. So history has shown us what happened when some of those champions like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Ron Brown, Fred Hampton, all murdered, Marcus Garvey sabotaged, right? The Black Panther Party. For self-defense, infiltrated by their own people who look like them. That's what I'm saying. That is, from what I've read, they had informants in high positions in the Black Panther Party. Grandmaster Jay of NFAC imprisoned for shining a light at a rooftop. So what makes that odd is that, you know, they had a conversation about that, but this guy is a trained killer by the United States Armed Forces. He's not so. If he wanted to kill somebody up there, I'm sure he's quite capable of doing that. Grandmaster Jay, the founder of the NFAC, the Not Effing Around Coalition, formed in the interest of protecting black people recently incarcerated after flashing a light on a rooftop where law enforcement was conducting observation. Louis Farrakhan, a controversial figure, standing his ground in the Nation of Islam promoting black collective economics and unity. Claude Anderson, a voice in the wilderness of his own people, foretelling the consequence of our lack of unity, foretelling the consequence of our lack of unity and collective economics while others unite in the race, R-A-C-E, and I mean that both ways, to power. And he means it both ways, the race and the race, as in that category that doesn't really exist, right? Race. Anyway, are there really black folks who can help but won't in order to preserve their individual interests? Black folk who work against black folk to enhance their personal interests or to gain the favor of their master? Are there still masters? Do we still have masters? Do some people still have masters? Does the Sambo slave mentality influenced by meritorious manumission still exist? Does the mentality exist? I've heard some black folks say that the horrors of slavery, bigotry, inequity happened to our ancestors. Other folks say blacks need to get over slavery. Slavery is only the beginning of the nightmare. The Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964, which is supposed to have ended segregation in public places and banned employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, right? That was about 54 years ago. So we're not talking about way back. This ain't 1492 we're talking about, right? And if this happened in 54 years ago, do you think that people just got over that? Having broken the filibuster, they said the Senate voted 73-27 in favor of the bill, right? Civil Rights Act, right? And Johnson signed it into law July 2nd, 1964. That means 27 or more than a quarter of the representatives in the Senate opposed the bill, something like that. I'm not good with the math thing, so don't knock me on that. But at least 27, right? People oppose the bill. These are elected officials. This ain't the Joe Blow from the Ku Klux Klan. This is Joe Blow elected official from the Ku Klux Klan. A little joke there, but it could be true, you know. Anyway, a filibuster political strategy in which a senator speaks or threatens to speak for hours on end to delay the effort to vote for a bill. It can keep a piece off the Senate business floor indefinitely, basically just holding it up, right? Which should be illegal. The chamber's majority leader can either remove the issue at hand from consideration or file a motion to evoke cloture, right? That motion takes 60 votes to succeed. In this case, the filibuster is an action to impede the social, political, economical growth, particularly of black people in the 60s. Could this mentality, nurtured by meritorious manumission, still exist among the black population's leaders and peoples of today? Are some of us not lending a helping hand where it counts and opting to preserve their personal goals or improve them? With distrust and disunity fed, were distrust and disunity fed and or bred into the slaves and their descendants? So the question is, where, you know, because it's not so much that this law exists, is the question is, does this mentality exist? So was the question is, was distrust and disunity fed and bred into some of the slaves and their descendants? Divide and conquer is one of the oldest strategies in history, and it works like a charm. Just want to remind y'all, what would it look like today? So as I said, meritorious is deserving honor or esteem honor, right? Esteem honor, right? Manumission is the form of or the formal emancipation from slavery. It's a way for slaves to earn their freedom. So the Meritorious Manumission Act was the legal act of freeing an enslaved African for good deeds as defined by the national public policy. Freedom could be granted to an enslaved African who saved the life of a white racist colonial enslaver or his property, invented something from which a white racist colonial enslaver could make a profit, or snitched on a fellow enslaved African who was planning a rebellion or running away. This is from a New York Amsterdam News. So, seems like a good deed involved a slave or a black man being disenfranchised of his right to benefit from his own invention or dishonored by assisting in maintaining the system of chattel slavery by denying captive people their right to freedom, particularly when they plan to fight for their freedom. So he's going to rat them out. I think y'all seen that Nat Turner revolt. I think they had a little boy rat him out. I don't know what actually happened in there. But that's what you call a snitch right there. So I don't know what they're calling snitches today. They got a different look on that. Anyway, from study.com, they said that the Virginia General Assembly, according to the Encyclopedia, Virginia defines meritorious manumission act as being enacted by the General Assembly in May 1782. In North Carolina, it allowed slave owners to manumit their slaves at will without government approval. The law also mandates that anyone manumitting their slaves should provide support for those over or under a certain age, and that slaves pay the taxes and levies required by the state. That sounds nice. Give you some support. Some land, how about, I don't know. Anyway, the act encouraged enslaved Africans to gain their personal freedom by keeping their masters informed on fellow enslaved Africans who were planning and executing revolts and rebellion, who were doing what they were supposed to do, right? So, from African People of Love, it said about the Meritorious Manumission Act of 1710, enacted in Virginia. The national public policy that could be granted to a slave who saved the life of a white master or his property, invented something from which a slave master could make profit, or snitch on a fellow slave who was planning a slave rebellion or to run away. Some of my prominent, they said, the article went on to say that some of our prominent black spokespersons are very well off financially because they sold out. So this is the accusation they're making, or fact, or whatever they're making. I don't know what people are making and what they're doing, but it seems peculiar to me that in a place where they have so much corruption and disenfranchisement and racism that, we aren't reading out these people that perpetuate those things. Anyway, they started out as strong black advocates. They said the people running for office. And I see that. I see guys running for office, and they seem like they are going to look out for the cookout. They start off as black advocates and activists, and now they are nothing more than sycophants for various causes, right? Political parties, businesses, and politicians, right? He's been told that everyone has a number, a price. They were accept to sell out. And I guess that death, I wonder if death is in a part of that number, your number being up if you don't shut up or. But to some of our letters, our leaders are known for selling us out, and we know who they are. We didn't mention who they are. He said, he questions how to even sleep. We're talking about black leaders, black people who are, I guess, do the same thing as some of the white leaders do. Bait you in to get your support, and then don't support you. Don't look out for the cookout. Okay, so anyway, he questioned our role as people in their actions. Said, are we enablers of these Benedict Arnold? Are we enabling them to making it possible for them to do what they do by we see? Because this is not new. It's not a novel thing. right? We see them, you know, but we do nothing about them. Still vote for him. We vote for him because he's black. You vote Democrat just to be Democrat. And that doesn't mean vote Republican either. We vote for whoever's, as my friend reminds me, whoever is giving you what you want. It's not hurting you. So they said, who's the real culprit in the sellout game? So we're talking about selling out. The one selling out or the one buying in? Buying in is us. Voting, help supporting these people in office who are sellouts, right? We will always be sold out if we keep buying into the empty rhetoric and promises, right? People that don't make their promises, right? Especially they look like you, running on your shoulders. We will continue to complain about sellout, but we will continue to be left out of the prosperity they enjoy. Carter G. Wilson said, Negroes choose leaders, but unfortunately, they are too often of the wrong kind. Okay, let's see. We're making some mistakes, blind mistakes, emotional mistakes. I don't know what kind of mistakes they are, but we're making them. We choose and follow sellout with great zeal. So we should stop blaming them and start blaming ourselves. Well, we need to do our homework. I agree with that. We need, if you continue to do something, right, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That wasn't nice, right? So it's not, you're not using your brain. So we're not using our brains. And I know we got this thing about voting for the lesser evil. But something's got to change. He said, Carter Wilson said, we usually go with the misleading, do-nothing politicians and the ones who are scared to make waves. I'm going to take, go on a limb and say, Kennedy was making some waves. JFK, he made some waves, and the waves he made got his head blown off in broad daylight in Texas. So you got to be brave if you're going up there representing the people. I don't know what kind of waves exactly Kennedy made, but I'm just saying, he must have rubbed somebody the wrong way. You know the type, docile, non-threatening, scratching and grinning, and all talk but no action, right? So if you got a politician that's talking sweet, talking you, and doing nothing, talking loud, I think James Brown said it, talking loud, saying nothing, right? We are the ones who are suffering because even though we are holding fast and not selling out, we are buying into the sellout mission, basically to get you to vote for them so that he can sell you out, right? We must be critical thinkers and let these man you missing seekers know that while they may continue to sell out, we will not continue to follow them, right? Stop voting for people who do not, cannot support you in the political arena. You got to have some, you know, gonads, you know what I'm saying? You got to have some guts, right? Anyway, that sounds like, it sounds self-perpetuating, voting or supporting someone who doesn't support you, and even worse, who is working against you, who looks like you. Could these guys be viewing the world through the eyes of controlling whites? Are they supporting the impedance of black social, political, economic growth? Say it ain't so. From the Black Atlanta Star. Non-black leaders who surprisingly don't support reparations. I don't know. Who's going to turn down reparations? Oh, we got non-black so-called leaders. I don't know who the yard is. I don't have a leader. But we got non-black leaders who surprisingly don't support reparations, right? Reparations for slavery has always been a controversial topic in the black community. This issue has gained momentum recently with several Caribbean nations renewing their commitment to seek reparations from countries that benefit from the atrocities of the transatlantic slave trade. That's the transatlantic slave trade, all right? However, not everyone in the black community is in favor of
righting the wrongs of hundreds of years of enslavement of black people with reparations. Here are nine black leaders who don't support reparations. We'll start with, I guess this, he would be the biggest of all of them, President Barack Obama. Obama has consistently has been consistent against the idea of reparations, arguing that the government should instead combat the legacy of slavery by improving schools, health care, and the economy for all Americans. Those are the things we're always supposed to have, with that we're paying our tax dollars are already supposed to provide for us. It's not going to help us. In the long run, it's going to help us, but it's not going to give us the boost we need, as you'll see Claude Anderson has a take on it. He said, I have said in the past, and I will repeat again, the best reparations we can provide are good schools in the inner city and jobs for people who are unemployed. And the job thing is good, but I'm not even going to get into that. Because the job is, you know, if you get a job, it's not a life wage, you're a slave. And even some people who have a life wage, you are a different type of slave. You're a house slave. So, and you just live in a little better, but you don't control anything. That's another show. I'm not even going to get into that. Sorry about that. Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, given the fact that there's plenty of blame to go around for slavery, plenty of blame to go around among African and Arab states, plenty of blame to go around among Western states, I think we're better to look forward, not point fingers backward, Rice said on NBC's Meet the Press. Will somebody please, is she talking about the Jews? Because they never forget their past, or the Native Americans. They never forget their past. That's like their history is, you know, they don't forget their history. You can see things on the Holocaust all the time on television. Arthur Davis, former Alabama U.S. House of Representatives. It's hard to see the space for significant debate on reparations. Instead of reparations, people must try to find some sort of some sort of unified plan for reviving economic prospects. A unified plan for this. These guys talking loud and saying nothing. There you go, right there. All right, Thomas Sowell, economist and social theorist, right? Sowell said in 2012, and the people made worse off by slavery were those who were enslaved. So we don't have nothing to do with it, right? Those descendants would have been worse off today if born in Africa instead of America. Really, he needs to prove that. Because it wouldn't be the America of the day without those slaves that were brought over here. But this guy, he's educated, so he must be right. Because there would be no America that we know today without those slaves. Look at the inventions that the slaves made in this country. After the, most of the stuff you use, a slave invented it. I don't even know why this guy's saying this. This is anyway, put differently. The terrible fate of their ancestors benefited them. The terrible fate of the ancestors benefited all black people is asking for the same chance that you gave other people coming into this country that didn't look like them. And this is an economist and social theorist saying, if those who were enslaved were alive, they would deserve huge reparations and their captors would deserve worse punishments than our laws allow. But death has put both beyond our reach. Why do people have a mark at slavery? That's another thing I don't understand. Frustrating as it is, creating new injustices among the living will not change that. So the people, just so you know, the people who are living today benefit off of the slaves of yesteryear. That's how the United States became a major producer, world producer with this cotton, with slaves. And it didn't stop with the so-called end of slavery. We need to stop saying that, allowing people to just draw the line at slavery as if everything was all right after that. And they passing laws in the 60s. Martin Luther King getting kicked in the behind because he just wanted equal rights. Treat me like a man. Or let me have what white folks have. Shelby Steele, award-winning author. I don't know who this is. I don't know who half of these people are, really. They're not my leaders, as I said. So, anyway, Shelby Steele is the best-known black opponent for reparations, labeled a neoconservative. She's the new conservative, huh? Steele said reparations fall into line behind the fight for welfare programs that only subsidize black inertia. Okay, we can't get nowhere with reparations. The demand for reparations is... He said, is yet another demand for white responsibility when today's problems is a failure of the black responsibility. So, corporations moving out of the country, that have nothing to do with black folks. We don't control corporate America. We don't control the jobs. We don't make the wars. But this guy say our problem today is solely ours. We just created this vacuum where we don't have employment, we can't get a life wage and all of that good old stuff. Graduate from college and still can't, you know, pay your loans and all. So this is interesting. He said by failing to draw a distinction between past and present, the reparation issue encourages the view that all blacks are victims and that all whites are collectively responsible. Simply to regard all members of the group as victims neatly removes such terms as character and personal responsibility from the cultural dialogue. See, that whole thing about rhetoric, here we go. So a lot of, I'm not even going to read the rest of that. Alan Keyes, political activist and former presidential candidate. The issue of slavery was very prominent in the minds of the young men who went into the cannons of mouth during the Civil War. A lot of folks went consciously believing that God called them to give their lives to repair the moral wrong of slavery. Woo! Something money could not do. So they gave their blood. Now it seems to me that by the very comparison you're suggesting, almost I feel an insult to our slave ancestors. Our ancestors are insulted that their ancestors get the same opportunity that white folks all got in this country, right? That's what he's saying, babe. And for not getting that same opportunity, they get reparations. He's saying to hell with that. So don't give me nothing. Now, you know, he's saying don't give us nothing. We'll do it ourselves. We'll pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. Okay? That's my friend likes to say, but what if you don't have no boots? Well, we don't have no straps in our boots. Anyway, we're going to do the same thing slaveholders did. Put a money price on something that can't possibly be quantified in that way. Woo! Joseph C. Phillips, former star of the Cosby Show, said something. This current generation of black people has not shared in the bounty that is America, and that any pathology in the black community is rooted in the legacy of slavery. How monetary payment will address either wrong is unclear, and does the morality of taking money from people never owned slaves in order to pay people that are never enslaved? See? It's hurt my eyes to read this stuff. These are black folks saying this. I'm going to go ahead and I'm tired of reading about them. I'm going to write to Claude Anderson, right? President of Power Economics Corporation of America, has a plan to put black America on its feet to economic independence. I said, why am I talking about him? Claude Anderson held the highest positions, of some of the highest positions in federal and state government and politics, right? His experience includes state coordinator of education for Florida under Governor Reuben Ashton, led President Jimmy Carter's Florida campaign to win the state executive director of two economic development corporations for the city of Miami and Florida. So he wrote many of the original affirmative action laws as part of the Carter administration. Affirmative action, basically, short story, is a remedy to remedy lingering effects of past discrimination and to create systems and procedures to prevent future discrimination, commonly based on population percentages of minority groups in a particular area. Factors considered are race, color, sex, creed, and age. Now, I heard Claude Anderson say he wrote that for specifically for black people, but they turned it into this, right? So this article on YouTube said why Claude Anderson said why we deserve reparations, and this is a guy that worked in government, right? Those other people, they worked in government. They say don't give them nothing. You spoiling them. Let them get it out the dirt. He said repairing the damage done to black folks for all the years of enslavement, Jim Crow, maldistribution of land and resources. The American dream based on free land, right? The American dream is based on free land and free labor. In 1790, immigrants were able to get 640 acres of land just coming to this country through land rights, land grant, homestead act. Railroads received 6 miles of land on each side of the railroad track equals 1 billion acres of free land. Land is the base of wealth for whites in the U.S. Whites control 99% of the wealth in the USA, most found in land. Blacks couldn't get 1 acre of free land, he said. Well. So Claude Anderson is a black empowerment leader that focuses on economic development of black folk, right? Currently, he's the head of the Harvest Institute, a black think tank focusing on reparations to descendants of slaves owned by natives, right? So they talked about leading black people to having capital to build black-owned businesses and vertically supply chains. So here's a brother that worked in government, with the government, and he actually tried to do something specifically for black folks. Right? Anderson says whites perpetrated the disenfranchisement of all races and had a hand in it, right? The government is currently on path to have black people locked in box as a permanent obsolete working class. It's now moving power into the hands of companies through privatization, right? So private just means instead of it's a government agency, it just means it's a business now, like some of these prisons. The redistribution of authority to the private sector will remove the federal government as an institution strong enough for black people to appeal to receive rights, he says. His research showed that blacks had to build a vertically integrated economy by year 2013. Okay, we're doomed, according to him. I say as long as we breathe, we're not. And I know it looks dark, and that sounds like I'm grabbing at straws, but hey, can't give up. The economic disenfranchisement began in the 1600s, and Maryland was the first state to make a black exclusion edict in 1665. See, we got laws that specifically prohibit the growth, the social, political, economic growth of black folks. See, the slave codes made aiding black people in any way punishable by death. The slave codes of 1705, right? So meanwhile, other folks are getting some help, right? Native Americans were instrumental in the institution of slavery. After the French Indian War, the Treaty of 1750 allowed Indians to own slaves. After this, Indians became leaders in capturing future slaves. The five civilized tribes were prolific slaveholders, and some of the fierce Confederate soldiers in the Civil War. Also, Indians were the only group of people who have slaves after the Civil War. They had to go in there and get them, right? A second treaty was signed to allow for the freeing of the slaves and their inclusion in reparations. So what black people got reparations who were slaves? Anyway, after the Civil War, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery unless preceded by a criminal conviction. I mean, if you get convicted of a crime, they can enslave you, right? The South set out to reestablish a system of forced labor and stay within the Constitution, right? So that's after the Civil War. The Civil War is in it when? 1863 or what was it? When did that end it? Brolo, you listening? Anyway. They said the farmer lines was they had a farmer lines, a co-op of white farmers that control access to distributors and a factory. Black farmers were not allowed to join and had no place to sell their crops. So we have this systemic, whether it's by law or by collaboration of individuals. We have all these things that's blocking black people. So it's not just slavery, as they keep saying, slavery. Why was Martin Luther King marching? Malcolm X, what was he talking about? The hell? Anyway, so you couldn't even take your crop. If you got something, you couldn't even take your crop to be sold. You know what I'm saying? So you had all these barriers. The South passed a law that said black men must have a steady stream of employment. How are you going to get a steady stream of employment and you just left the plantation, right? You ain't got a horse or a buggy, nothing. How are you going to get out of South Carolina, right? Anyway, this is the things that black people are going through in this country, and they say we don't deserve reparations because we weren't slaves. But we experienced oppression in this country of systemically, overtly by the so-called justice system, the injustice system, and the injustice behaviors and collaborations of people who did not want black folk to move up. They wanted to make no money and wanted to get their piece of the pie. But somehow, these so-called leaders, some of them, take this thing back to, oh, you had to have been a slave. You know, if you're a descendant of a slave, your parent was a slave, your base is slavery, you have nothing. Slave, where's his land? Is he in this country at that point? He is the same as a piece of land, piece of property. He's just a piece of property that can walk around. Anyway, he said blacks that moved north couldn't fare any better. The government increased quotas allowing immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe to reduce the relative number of black people in the north, right? The government increased quotas, right? Allowing immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe to reduce the relative number of black people in the north. Do you see a flood of immigrants coming to this country? I'm just saying. Unions were formed to exclude black people, and laws were passed to force companies to hire from the unions. So you got a law. You got to hire people to a person or an organization that doesn't want to hire you. You got to go to a black, but then relegated to the ghettos because that was the only place in town black people could afford to live. Basically, you putting on somebody's old sneakers. That's like that. The Civil Rights Movement resulted in affirmative action. Dr. Anderson wrote many of the original affirmative action laws as part of the conversation. Since the inception, affirmative action has grown to include more people. Currently, white women get 70% of the affirmative action jobs, and Hispanics get 20% of the affirmative action jobs. Blacks receive 1% of the benefit of affirmative action. Dr. Anderson hopes a speedy end of affirmative action. The influx of immigrants has also caused the relative pay between whites and blacks to stay at 54%. Jobs can be given to immigrants to fill AA quotas, and the disenfranchisement of blacks will continue. We talked about the percent of national wealth owned by black people in 1860 was 0.5%. In 1960, the number went up to 1.5%. Currently, we still have less than 2% of the national wealth. We are not doing any better as a group. The lack of wealth in the black community is not the result of any inferiority on the part of black people. In 1960, 90% of the black population was illiterate. By 1900, only 40% were illiterate. The rapid growth of literacy in the black community is one of the greatest achievements in educational history. I know no teenagers are listening to this show, but y'all need to know that. Talk to your kids, because these kids of truancy is rampant in some communities, some of these inner city schools. I don't know what's happening in the rural area, but whew, people are truant and they in school every day. At this moment, black women are the most educated demographic in America, they say. However, this does not translate into wealth or even income due to discrimination in the marketplace, right? Of Carl Anderson's has two-part solution, right? First, to infuse black America with wealth through reparations. Second is to create black businesses in a vertically integrated supply structure. So he talked about a lot of stuff, so I'm going to keep it moving because I'm trying to hit up, get a lot of stuff in here. So I had a response to Claude Anderson's program, but I don't even care. He said, this is one thing he said. He also has an unfair indictment of black political leadership as being inept. Right? He says black people are the only group of people that try to represent everyone. He forgets that black people are only 10% of the population, and a person needs 50% of the vote to win election. I thought you needed 51%. He said you can have an initiative that only helps black people, because you can't have an initiative that only helps black people, because only 10% of the population will support the effort. That is how affirmative action got diluted and other disenfranchised groups got included. That is something that will never change. A black politician knows this and builds a coalition accordingly. All right, so it's basically sounds like affirmative action might not happen, but who knows? So you can't have an initiative that only helps black people. Well, tell that to the LGBTQ advocates who have been successful at getting laws passed to support their agenda. There is strength in numbers, and black people united is greater than black people ununited. So tell you what you can't have. Biden wrote a law to protect Asians and illegal immigrants. I never, which is, ain't that an oxymoron? He writing a law to protect illegal aliens? I don't get it. Biden wrote executive orders to protect Asians and support Latinos illegally crossing U.S. borders. There is an initiative to provide support for illegal immigrants. The population appears to be Latino. Hey, that's a good thing to help people. Don't get me wrong. But you can't write nothing for no black folks? Specifically for blacks? If the U.S. had and or has laws that historically specifically disenfranchises black people, laws that specifically benefit black people could counteract some of the loss and deprivation. It just seems logical to me, because all this year, they gave us schools and they gave us inferior, you know, everything they gave us was inferior. So how about give us the same opportunity you gave folks that look like you? That's all you're saying. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Anyway, Anderson believes that black people living in communities in which they are the majority population will aid in giving black people more power. See, that's fine, right? He's talking about black unity. He says the only way to vote in elections in which you are the majority of the population, right? The concentration of the black population will give us power to city government, but it will not help in state and federal elections. The state can override city initiatives, right? I think nothing beats a failure but a try. We will always need to build coalitions for any elections here, right? So that was the guy critiquing Claude Anderson. I say be very apprehensive of anyone who suggests that black people should not unite socially, economically, and politically. We have evidence of what can happen if black people unite. Dr. Anderson appears to be indicating that issues that impact negatively on black people are not being addressed at the federal level. Black people do not have the numbers to impact on the decision-making process at that level. The federal government can override a decision showing you who they truly are, or the interests of the black voter can be totally ignored on any level. Black people should start where they have the most power, where they are more than 30% of the population. It makes sense. Nothing beats a failure but a try. Some people call Anderson a separatist because he encourages black people to unite and work together. It was segregation that forced the people in Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, to work together, and they created one of the most prosperous communities in America in about 1920. Only thing they didn't have was a good defense. Remember, blacks uniting has always been viewed as negative by the slave masters. Anyway, we talked about Anderson goes on to talk about Africa Town initiatives, shows how not building a coalition will destroy a project. In Negro leadership has failed black people, he claimed black politicians did not fully support him. However, the city council overrode their beloved mayor's veto. A coalition of non-black immigrants with lawyers stopped the initiative. It is also difficult to believe Anderson's hateful speech on his radio show, Power Economics, did not help to motivate the immigrant groups. So he goes on to say the foreign competition also hurt skilled worker jobs. Dr. Anderson employs blacks to choose trade school over college, right? That's like being your own boss, right? Even though a lot of people that work in the trades do work for other people. Trade school is good in theory, but with fewer products manufactured in the U.S., skilled worker jobs will never employ a lot of people. There is currently a shortage of jobs. However, it will be sufficient to employ a large percentage of blacks, even in the market for freelance work. Black people will face the same discrimination they face in the corporate marketplace. He chiefly focuses on economic development, making him a goal-centric. Said, I would obviously consider him a separatist and not an integrationalist, right? So it appears that the overt oppression and suppression continued overtly up until the civil rights era. That is less than 60 years ago. The laws may have changed, but some people have not. It would behoove black people to unite, which is the opposite of separate or integrate. which would weaken the collective power of black people. It doesn't mean hate white people. It means love, trust, help black people increase their social, political, and economic power. What Sambo wouldn't want that for black people? That is exactly what Sambo wouldn't want. So back to this whole thing about a black person seeing the eyes, seeing the world through his oppressor, identifying. They use it as an example. I don't know if people have seen that movie, The Django. I think the guy name is, Samuel Jackson played a guy named Steven. And he was, he was a terrible guy. He put up whatever burial he could so that Django couldn't get his wife back. He couldn't be happy with a black man, Django, who wasn't a slave, freeing another slave, which is his wife. He couldn't get them two thumbs up. Good job. You know, he wanted to kill that whole program. So I just use Claus Anderson as an example because I noticed that he worked in government, and he's the things he's saying must come from his experience in government. How come all these people that, you know, that look like us, how come they're not bringing us same kind of, you know, information Claude is bringing us about government? Why do you have to disappear? Why do you run on a platform of helping our black people, then you get in office, you don't do nothing? So that's what they talk about, gatekeepers and meritorious man, you missing folk in present day. They took the chains off his wrists and his ankles, put the chains on his mind. So I always like to add the fear factor in there. You know, because your political career could be over, or your life could be over. So that's why I say if you don't have the guts to do it, I'm sure Martin Luther King feared for his life many times. I'm sure Malcolm feared for his life, but fear is that shouldn't stop you. Not when you have to do the things that you have to do. Can't let fear stop you. So I'm going to talk about these two people, Uncle Tom. We like to call a person, basically that snitch, that person who's going against you, an Uncle Tom, going against black people. But apparently Uncle Tom was not, he was actually a strong slave. Right? I'm going to read this thing to the Golden Nation said, talks about the meritorious Manumission Act of 1710, how America developed a culture of snitching and pro-establishment Negro leadership. Pro-establishment Negro leadership. You can see that right now. Anybody trying to call in, please call in the show at 516-531-9540. If you want to call in, please call in on 516-531-9540. What is the they say the concept of Uncle Tom didn't just crop up out of thin air. At some point, the Meritorious Manumission Act all passed in Virginia in the 1700s as a propellant that spurred black people to snitch on one another to get into the good graces of white people. So just that concept right there, I have to question, is that happening today? I get it. We have a caller on 706705. Is that happening? Welcome to Provocative Thoughts, sir. Hello?
Hey, how you doing, Carlton? How you doing? This is Marvin Tucker.
Marvin Tucker, just, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey, I just heard you talking about snitching. As what do you mean snitching? Like if somebody go out there and kill somebody?
No, we're talking about I'm gonna give you an example, modern day example. Well, back in the day they had this thing for slaves. If you can get your freedom, if you snitch on, say, like Nat Turner, he planted a rebellion, you let us know. You think
right.
That panel, right, that's snitching, right? So to gain the favor of the master, now today, they're saying that we still have our leaders today are still operating under that mentality in order to gain favor, right, or personal gain.
Okay, I got you now. I just dialed up and got on and heard something. I actually touched one. I wasn't trying to listen, but... Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, in that case, I believe in it. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people go out here, no snitching. But, yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that because I deal with it myself right now at my job. And I always dealt with that. You know, I deal with it every day. But thank God I got one more year to then I'm retired. So,
okay.
But, yeah. But you find a lot of people do that to get ahead. And I've been at my job, 24 years, and people snitch on me trying to get me in trouble. And my attitude, okay, what you going to do? You going to fire me? No, you can't. You ain't got nobody to take my place as good as me.
Right.
So they leave me alone. But I see that every day, especially, unfortunately, when it comes down to the whites. They doing it, trying to snitch. And then you got some of the wannabe black people who just doing the same thing. Because you got a lot of black people out there who's trying to get favors, trying to get ahead. They think if they go tell everything they see that they going to get in. And they don't. They really don't. To me, they don't.
Mm.
They just get used every day. Oh, tell me some more. And I hate to say this word, but master don't give a darn about.
Right.
They using them.
Wow.
But
so
what
do you think about?
I get it.
What do you think about our leaders? Are our leaders doing that? Are our leaders gatekeepers, pacifiers for the the people who want to?
I kind of feel sorry for our leaders because the leaders to me are out there to make a name for themselves, but they're not really doing the things they should do. You know.
So what are they doing? What are
making
they doing? That's the whole
themselves.
Question. They're all about themselves.
All about themselves. All about themselves. And that's it. That's it to me. I mean, look, a guy sitting on Supreme Court, what is he doing? He's not doing nothing. He's trying to take away everything from the blacks.
Right.
And Clarence Thomas, he's not doing nothing. He's just sitting there holding up space. You got so many of them people who black, but they not for black people.
Right.
You know, and that's terrible. That's terrible. Even
right, that's
my
what they
job
mean.
Where I'm at, it was no blacks there. Then when I got on board, I started putting blacks in place, and they found a way to chop them down.
Mm.
But there's one black they can't do nothing with, that's me. Because I tell them in a minute, I go ghetto style. You want to fight? I'll fight. You want to talk about it? I talk about it. But you're not going to touch me. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
All kinfolk. All kinfolk, not kinfolk.
Right. And plus the 20 years in the Navy I spent dealing with the same issues right there.
Mm.
And the Navy is so prejudiced, it ain't funny. But you got that one black guy who would chop your neck off to make him look good in front of master.
Mm.
You know,
wow.
I just come from Mississippi about a couple months ago. Guy's going to kick me out of the shipyard, a black guy. Why are you so hard on me? Why?
Mm.
And I watched the white guys who worked there doing the same thing that I was doing. I took my hard hat off of my glass and set in front of the fan because it's 110 degrees. Well, if you don't put that hard hat glasses on, I'm going to get you kicked out the shipyard.
Mm.
And you watch the white people do it, but I wasn't a part of the shipyard. I was a contractor going there to do a job.
Right.
But still, black people kind of don't look out for blacks.
Wow.
So who can you really blame? Can you blame that white man, or can you blame the blacks who are not together?
Well, I'm gonna say that we are disunified and we need to unify.
Right. Yes, we do. I mean, I had a lot of deals with Filipinos, and you can say what you want about them, they stuck together. They stuck together. And that's what black people need to do. Hey, let's cut all this stupid shit out and stick together so we can get somewhere.
Right.
Because right now, as long as you're doing what you're doing, we're not going to really accomplish anything. You got a few blacks who are going to make it. But as a whole, we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything. I feel like I made it. I did good. I've done good. And I'm going to keep doing good. But I'm one in a few.
Right.
I'm one in a few. Just like, I hate to even say that, Trump, look at his bull. He's still walking the streets. You let a black person did that, let Obama did that, he would have been in jail quicker than whale shit. I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe I'm getting a little off pace, you know, but.
Well, it's a part of the beast that we're talking about. You know,
yes,
because,
it is.
You know,
yes, it is.
Right, you know, and like you said, like, we got this, we know, we like to call people Uncle Tom, but I learned that the character is the Sambo character. Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's not Uncle Tom that's the one that's sucking and jiving. It's the Sambo. He's the one that voluntarily snitched on people, not Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom is a strong person.
Yes, you're right. The Sambo is the main, he's the main problem.
Right.
And he's still out begging for food, begging for this, but he thinks he's getting somewhere. No, he's not.
No.
You're being used. That's all.
Right. So you're saying we have Sambo leaders?
Oh, yes. I really feel that some of them, they're not really. It's all about making money. It's all about making money. What can they do to make more money? What can they do? For instance, who's that football player?
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. Yeah. Trump put him out front. Why? Because Trump wanted to use them.
Right.
So he's a Sambo.
He's a Sambo.
He don't know enough. He don't know enough to fill the job he's running for. But he's making a white man. He's there for a purpose. It's
right.
A purpose he's there for. They use him to try to get other black votes. To knock the votes away from the whoever he's running against. Like, you know, Trump put all these people up front so they'll look out for him. But Trump don't give a hell about none of them. And people need to realize and see that. You being used. Hoodwinked.
Yeah. They're buying into it.
Big time.
So are they buying in because of the color of his skin or ignorance? What do you think it is? Is it ignorance? Is it, what is it? They playing a skin game? What? Why would they do that?
I think it's ignorance. They can't see a foot beyond their nose. They're ignorant. They don't know what's going on. They can't see it. It's being spelled out for them, but they don't want to see it, or they don't realize it. I don't know what it is, but it's right there. It's right there.
Wow.
We, as a black people, are our worst enemies. That's what I feel. We are our worst enemies. We pulling ourselves down. We fight amongst ourselves. I mean, back in the day, when I lived down there, I watched people walk down Ogden Street and get messed up. Strangers get messed up. And I watched a couple of white people walk through Ogden Street and nothing. Which I'm not saying they should get beat up. I'm not saying anybody should get beat up or hurt. But
right.
why you let a white person stroll to your neighborhood and do nothing, but when a black person comes through, you got to kill them. Why?
Right.
What is the purpose of it?
Right. And that's Sam Bowish. Sam Bo is the one that would beat a slave, right? He's the one in Uncle Tom's cabin. He beat Uncle Tom almost to death, right? In the story.
That's it.
He's the one that would do things to the slaves to appease the master, gain the favor of his master. So.
Yep. I love being black. I wouldn't have any other color, but we got to wake up. We got to protect ourselves like everybody else protecting theirs. We got to learn to stick together. I mean, I almost got shot down at the bottom when I was home. I'm walking down there, and them little young boys want to get me. But them the same little young boys that came to my mom's store, and I gave them things and like that, but they want to get me. What are you doing down here? Who are you? Wow.
Right, so that's interesting because I'm going to get to that part. So when people do things that impede the growth and develop social, economic, political growth of the black community, they are actually acting like Uncle Tom. I mean, Sambo, not Uncle Tom, like Sambo. Because it has the same effect. The result of that is stifling the black community, making sure that we don't rise up.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of them guys down there who moved up in the world, working in that politics stuff. Why are they in there? Are they in there to help or are they in there to fill their pockets?
Well,
and you got a lot of them in there who's out to fill their pockets.
Right. What have they done? I mean, you can easily tell what they're in there to do. What have they actually done?
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know because they could be like it's just them against city council. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
Because one person is not going to. Right. So I don't know. I'm not going to say because you haven't done anything. But if you haven't done anything, then you're ineffective. Then what's the reason why you haven't done anything? Is it you against everybody else? Because why aren't you making that, known? That's my thing. You know what I'm saying?
And the white man going to protect them. They're going to give them what they want. Because you're not doing anything to improve your race of people. You're doing what we want you to do. We got a black man, a Sambo, kicking the black man down. We got a Sambo kicking a black man down.
So we still have the mentality. You said this mentality is what is it? Is it embedded in some people or is selling out just a thing that capitalism and poverty kind of leads people to doing it. What is it?
I think it's selling out, trying to get ahead, trying to cover their own ass and don't care what they got to do that. Hey, I'm putting a roof, a big, nice, pretty house, living in a big, pretty house, driving a nice, pretty car, got nice, pretty clothes, and I want to keep that. Whatever I got to do that, I'm going to do it. And I think a lot of them feel that way, whatever it takes. They don't, what they got them guys called around there, not congressmen, but.
Councilman?
Councilman?
Yeah.
How good are they really? Yeah. How good are they? What real change has happened?
Right.
I mean, I look at our neighborhood there, how is it going down. Who's going to step up and say, hey, let's turn this around? Nobody. They're going to let it happen. And only thing gonna happen is they're gonna tear it all down and move white people in there, build the houses back up to where blacks can't afford them.
Right.
And move the blacks out. Regentrification?
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Gentrification.
gentrification. Yes, that's all they do.
Right. So okay, so this Sambo meritorious mission attitude, right? It still permeates through our lifetime now, presently, as it did through slavery, but it's showing itself in different ways in terms of the selfishness
of
individuals in the community, on the street, and in politics. That's what I just heard you say.
Yes. In politics. Oh, yeah, for real. In politics.
Where would Obama stand in that? In that? Which would he be, a Sambo or Uncle Tom?
I don't know. I wasn't happy with Obama. Really, I understand somewhat. They wasn't going to let him do all but so much. You got Mitch McConnell there. You got everybody else who, you know, I'm going to make him a one-term president. I mean, he had to fight it for everything he did. And he didn't do what I want for the – he didn't do what I want to see done for the black people. But how much were they going to let him do?
That's interesting. It's funny you should say that because he did things for the LGBTQ community, right? He even had the –
Yes, he did. Yes.
White House, you know.
Yes.
So, I mean, specifically for them. And so if they could do something specifically go ahead.
And I think the LGB got more pulled than the blacks do.
Hmm.
I think they really do.
Seems that way.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Because they got lost.
It's not
their favorite.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm not against them per se, but as long as you live your lifestyle and I live my lifestyle and we don't let them cross, you do what you want. That's your business. I don't judge.
Right.
That's your business, but don't cross my way. Don't cross my path. That's all I can say. You know, it's crazy. Obama, I think, could have did more. Would they let him do more? That's another question.
No, but why are you there? Why are you running? Why are you running on the black vote if you're not going to do nothing for them, the people that vote for you?
That's true. 100%. Like Biden, same way.
Well, we don't expect anything from Biden. I mean, if you believe what that guy's saying, you just crazy. You know, when you see a black face, you expect a little more.
You expect something.
What we're going through. You know
what.
And you have the inside, you know, view of government. You know exactly what's going on. You know, do something. Stand up for something.
But
at least
some people get to the top or close to the top, and they forgot they was down the bottom. They don't realize, hey, I was there too. What can I do? They don't.
Right.
They forget.
Well,
so your struggle and their struggle is not the same struggle.
Right. And since you said that, my theory on Obama is that when he brushes his hair every day, he's glad to see the back of his head still there. So that's why he's not making any moves. Whatever he saw, saw when he got there, he was thankful that every time he put his baseball hat on or his hat on his head, he still had a head.
Yeah.
Because we kind of like, everybody's not as courageous as Martin Luther King. And anybody think, Martin Luther King, I'm sure he was fearful. You know what I'm saying? But I've seen pictures of that stuff when I was a kid. You can watch it on YouTube now. That's some scary stuff, man.
He didn't back down. He knew his time was coming, but he still stayed out there.
So that's the kind of guy we need in politics. We don't need a guy that's going to...
And you don't...
What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we don't need a guy that's going to sell out, going to back up off of the issue because he's scared he's going to die.
Yeah.
Don't run.
Anyway.
Right. Don't ask for our vote. If you're not standing, you scared to stand up for us. And we definitely don't need a guy that's filling his pockets, you know, on our vote, on our support.
I mean, it's nobody out there to stand up for the blacks anymore. I mean, you got Sharpton out there, but
he's powerless.
Yeah. He's allowed to talk, but he has no power.
Yeah, he's like a pill for the black community. He can try to calm us down. That's what he does.
Right. That's
he has no power. Yeah, that's his function. You know, going in, calm natives down on our.
But blacks need to look at what's going on and work together. And we could run this if we did that.
Yeah,
you got a lot of smart, strong black people out there who don't need to kiss the white man. They could make it if they want,
right.
And they could help the whole society make it. But they don't want to do that. They everybody's worried about getting what they want for themselves. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's hard to deal with a narcissist.
That's my
feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I feel.
Yeah, that's all right. And we're expressing how we feel, think, and feel, and things we heard here on the show. That's what we do every Saturday.
Yeah.
So ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, expressing yourself is what we do here. Right?
I mean, I would love to move back to Philadelphia, but people crazy. I ain't trying to get shot in the head. You know. Stop killing your own people.
Right.
I mean, the white man has put all that there for you to do it, and you're doing what he wants you to do.
Right.
You're doing what they want you to do. Just back in the day, the crack epidemic. All the blacks got hooked up on crack. Yeah. And the whites got hooked up on cocaine. Which one did get the worst, most time for it? The people who did crack. They slapped the people in hands who did coke and coke. You know, it's
right.
All the same drugs.
Yeah.
So,
right. I call that stacking the debt.
Yeah. And we let them do it because we fighting amongst ourselves. And you got a few of them out there who's trying to keep their head above water by, hey, Mr. Charlie, this is going to go on. This is going to go on. You know?
Okay, so. Meritorious man you mentioned, that act was back in 1710, I think, 17 something like that. They saying that some people feel that the act encouraged enslaved Africans to gain their personal freedom by keeping their masters informed on fellow enslaved Africans who were planning executing revolts or rebellions, right? We've seen that with the Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? So it trickled down today in the modern day. They say it still exists today. We have some meritorious, manumissant black leaders running around here today who prioritize their personal ambition, like you said, right? And individualism over the liberation of the masses of our people from colonial capitalism and its byproduct called poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Even civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. called out these so-called black leaders. King labeled them manufactured leaders created by the white power structure in order to maintain control over the black vote, politics, economics, and social movements in the black community. This is where, like you said, we have to be more aware of what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The mindset is integrated in black culture. That has some experts. Say slave behavior will not disappear. I think that means that this Sambo behavior will not disappear because slave behavior, slaves revolt. You understand what I'm saying? So every slave, we have the Uncle Tom, and we have the Sambo. So when he's saying slave behavior will not disappear, I think he's referring to the Sambo behavior will not disappear.
Yeah, it won't. It won't because you always got them out there.
Right, so there's nothing we can do. Right. So what we got to do is
they gonna get
weed them out. That's all we got to do. I mean, you never know who that person is. Because like I said, I heard they had people in the Black Panther Party, high-ranked soldiers in the Black Panther Party, FBI agents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there wouldn't have been a Black Panther Party if the black people weren't being abused and murdered, you know, by the Oakland and Los Angeles police departments and the police departments all over the nation. There wouldn't have been, there would be no need for the Black Panther Party. But they didn't want to deal with, they want to deal with the reaction to the abuse. They don't want to deal with the abuse. As you see, that's still happening today. That is just to use that example. So apparently, you don't have to be a shadow slave to think like or behave like one. Maybe that is what they mean when they say they took the shackles off your arms and legs and put them on your mind. That's where we are today. Some of us.
Yeah.
You know? We had Uncle Tom was the strong slave. He wouldn't beat a slave. He would put cotton in another slave's bell so that they wouldn't be whipped.
Yep.
Wouldn't snitch. But Sambo is, I don't know if you know that story, that movie, The Django. Samuel Jackson is a perfect. Right. Yeah, he's perfect. You want to see what Sambo looks like, acts like? Watch The Django. Take a look at Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, he played that part 100%.
100%. I could have slapped him in the face myself. All right, so we run out of time. I want to thank you for calling in today, Marvin. Everybody else listening and downloading the show, I want to thank everybody for listening. And remember, each one reach one, each one teach one.
Right.
Life is short. Do something.
It is.
Until next week,
ain't
y'all.
Trying to get us out here.
That's
right. Okay, hey, you take it easy. I hope to see you one day.
All right, my brother. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Until next week, y'all. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and chip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke.
The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.